right. News with Nick, October 16th, 2017, 8:01 a.m., only 1 minute behind schedule. I'm here in the studio with Brett.
Hey, it's an honor.
Hi, Brett.
Hi.
So you stayed here last night. Thanks for coming over.
I did. I was on Free Talk Live, and I thought it was terrible, Nick.
Really?
I want to do a really good news show.
Okay.
Because I felt like I was on a bad news show last night. Free Talk Live is fine, okay, but last night's show was particularly bad.
Why was that?
I think it was the callers. I was like, yeah, let's talk to callers. And then they were all not... They didn't have much to say.
When was the last time you talked to a caller that was like, oh, that was a pretty good caller?
I always want the caller to be like angry and confrontational and have views that I disagree with. But I just didn't feel like that happened last night. It was like people were just calling to say things that should have been journal entries, I felt.
Right.
Like personal journal entries.
Yeah, Facebook posts.
Yeah, yeah, people do that too. So... yeah, it's disappointing. I felt like it just sucked the energy out, and maybe I was a little tired or something too. I should take some responsibility, but disappointing night.
Calls are old. That's the old style of radio, I think. Old style of content where we talk to people.
Right.
People should listen to us.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people are deciding that the callers aren't adding much to the show. But if you could control your callers, like control their lives and their minds, but if you just control who they are, you could get a better control the people listening to your show. I mean, you could get a better selection of callers, like I did when we did the School Sucks call-in show. Yeah, after I took it off LRN, so those people couldn't call in.
Right.
So
all right. Well, you're here. We're down the street from what we call the Malik Center.
Okay.
The Muslims are getting their house fixed up down the street. We covered that in the last news show.
Oh.
You up to date on that?
I think so. They were all running around the house I was in last night. A lot of them. Like, I felt like there was 7 people.
The house you were in last night?
Yeah.
You were in this house last night.
No, I mean for Free Talk Live.
Oh.
They were all there. I think they were watching a movie upstairs in the house where they do Free Talk Live.
Oh, okay. So all the Muslims hang out at Free Talk Live and then go back to...
apparently.
Well, I guess the mosque isn't ready yet.
Right. So if the movie room at the mosque isn't ready, so they use the movie room at the Free Talk Live
Wonderful.
Studio.
Wonderful. Okay.
The Shire Free Church.
All right.
So I didn't know really what to think of it. It seemed disruptive to me that kids were running around screaming. I love kids. They're
now,
fine.
Now, even in the middle of the movie, do they have to go, oh, prayer? Because, like, they've gone over their allotted. So if it's 24 divided by 5 prayers a day, right, that's like 5 hours every prayer.
Right.
You could easily have a movie that overlaps with the prayer moment.
If you didn't time it right.
Right.
I'm sure Muslims are good at timing their, you know, movies around their prayers. I mean, you think you would be get the hang of that after a while.
Sure.
Right.
But smokers don't. Smokers are like, oh, shit, I got to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Muslims are probably the same.
Right. So anyway, the Ian is, as I think Mark said, doing this to troll people.
Wait, you got behind the scenes?
I think it might have been the other host who said that Ian is trying to troll people in the community with this move of setting up a mosque. But Mark said that the more rational explanation for it is he's using it to add validity to the whole Shire Free Church thing by bringing in another religion and having a mosque.
Yeah, but isn't Mark part owner of the Shire Free Church?
I think so, but sometimes he just seems like he shrugs his shoulders and says,
well, I'm sure, yeah.
I have a son and a wife, so I can't kill myself.
Anyway, yeah.
And a lot of Bitcoin, which is a reason to live, I think.
Well, sure, I suppose so, if you've looked at it recently.
Yeah.
So you stayed here. Hopefully the bed was not awful. It's my pullout.
Yeah, it was great. I'm realizing that along the way, I'm going to need to get some sleep aids. Right, because there's so many things going on in my head that I lie in bed and go, here are things to think about.
Right.
Here are other things to think about. And that makes it hard to sleep. So last two nights, I haven't gotten the best night's sleep, but the bed had nothing to do with it. The accommodations were amazing. I'm really just grateful that you would do so much work to make the night comfortable for me, and it certainly was.
Oh, how many chipmunks did you hear in the walls?
Oh, I didn't hear any. Are you having chipmunks?
Oh, I don't think so. Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't really care.
No.
Do you know my house used to be 100% white. I don't know if you noticed. Now there's a sloppily painted blue archway here.
Oh, yeah.
And so now the house is only 98% white.
Now
I missed and I painted the walls a little bit.
That's okay. I thought this was actually a suggestion that I made, and I think now that I'm seeing this, yes, I like this.
Yeah, I got my runner's corner here. This used to be like trash and stuff. Not trash, but just random boxes. Now it's an actual thing.
With some medals?
Medals, times, and all my running clothes are over there.
Awesome.
So I changed naked in front of these huge windows.
With the blinds open?
Right, yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Absolutely.
On to the news.
We have quite a buffet here.
On the night of October 1st, 2017, a gunman opened fire on a crowd of concertgoers at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival on the Las Vegas Strip in Paradise, Nevada, leaving 58 people dead and 546 wounded between 10:05 p.m. and 10:15 p.m. 64-year-old, and that's Pacific time. So actually, it was like 1 a.m.?
Right.
Real time, so we were all sleeping.
Yeah, no one here got to enjoy it till the next day.
64-year-old Stephen Paddock of Nevada fired hundreds of rifle rounds from his suite on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. About an hour after he fired his last shot, an hour after he was found dead in his room from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, his motive is unknown. So everyone obviously knows about the shooting. I always wake up in the morning to the news on the radio.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were covering the news stories of the previous day. And it seemed like almost at the end of it, they were like, oh, and by the way, biggest mass shooting in U.S. history happened last night. That's the news. They didn't say, oh, by the way, but they weren't really covering it super hard. So and then I was waking up like, that's a weird way to say that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It kind of disappeared out of the news pretty quickly. There
you
are
think?
Many. I mean, in the alternative media, there are lots of little investigations going on. But I don't see it as being the top story in like the mainstream networks or publications anymore.
I think you're completely wrong.
Great.
I think that it's all over the place because this has reignited the gun debate. Of course, it always does. Because this guy used what's called bump stocks, right?
Sure.
So it means that you pull the trigger or something, and the gun fires, but then it recoils, and then it bumps your finger against the trigger faster than you could pull it doing this.
Like sure.
Wiggling your finger.
Right, right. Because it's using the let go as...
Right.
Yeah, all right.
Which
sure.
still seems like that would be a lot of force. Like, it seems like you'd have to hold the gun really hard to get it to do that.
And he was, what, 86?
64.
64. All right, that's considerably younger.
Right.
But I don't know. I wish there was a clear motive, but...
Sure.
Does and everybody trying to put the motive on him, I think, is very. That makes me uncomfortable, and I don't really like to follow that as everybody tries to cram it into their worldview or their story. I find that to be kind of a yucky thing because it's like, how can I cash in on 60 deaths, you know, and hundreds of injuries?
Right. So, did you see any of the videos from it, from the concert? They're so people are holding their phones up for the concert, and then all of a sudden it's like. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the guys on stage run off.
Yeah.
But then they don't know what to do. You can't be like, everyone escape because it's a caged area. It's a concert.
Yeah. It does look like a tremendous amount of ground. I mean, is that little line there says 200 feet? So look at how far away he is from where those people are. I mean, what did they say it was? Like 400 yards?
Yeah.
We're looking at a map.
So that must be, that's 1,200 feet. So 4 football fields. If people want to measure their things in football fields, I feel like not many people run football fields all that often. Like, man, I got to get a good gauge of a football field because people keep measuring things in football fields.
Right. Indeed.
Everyone should probably head out to a football field and do some sprints just to get a gauge.
But don't sprint the whole field. I wouldn't recommend that.
Oh, sure.
I say,
not
actually,
without cleats.
No. Sprint the field. It's 100 yards.
Right.
You can do it.
Yeah.
Don't be a baby about
that's
it.
That's a Usain Bolt distance.
Oh, well, yeah, you can start with 50. 50 is fine. Do 4 50s in 15 minutes or less, and that's a good workout.
Sure. Well, anyway, apparently he starts shooting. Now the current timeline is that there's a security guard in the hallway and he shoots the security guard through the door or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then starts shooting out the window. And then it takes SWAT team an hour to organize and get to his door. And he stopped shooting for like 50 minutes by this point. And then they go in and like, oh, he's dead. And then they find 32 guns inside.
Right. You heard about the security guard who disappeared.
What's the security guard who disappeared?
We were talking about this Sunday night or Saturday night. I heard about this from our friend Osborne. A security guard at the hotel set up 5 interviews and then fucking vanished.
Oh.
I can try and get some information.
Like news stories interviews.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I have a video from it. This is taken from the perspective of a cab driver. It is hilarious. I got to make sure I got my notes ready for it, actually. So I don't know if everyone's seen this. Uh-oh. Okay, so the cab driver's going along on a main road. Uh-oh, there's got to be audio here shortly. People running across the street. People are running to his cab.
God, broken leg.
All right. Okay.
Broken leg.
Broken leg. Yeah. Okay.
So the person yelling, okay, what happened? That's the cab driver.
Okay.
Quite a character. Now imagine you're a cab driver and you're recording this whole thing on video. Already been recording for 9 minutes. You don't know what's happening.
Right.
Right. That's the situation of the cab driver. We're not going
to
do all.
Well, why is he recording? Do we not know what starts recording? Does he just do like a little dash cam?
Yeah, we don't know. What a weirdo to keep recording. And the passengers actually go, why are you recording this? Several times.
And he's doing it with a handheld. No, he's doing it with a handheld phone.
Yeah.
While he's driving?
Yep.
That's nuts. Even though I did that yesterday.
There's several twists in this video.
Oh, boy.
Anywhere. Is there somebody out there?
Head down. Yes, head down. You know what's happening.
Sure. All right.
Go.
Okay. All right.
Now, the carload of passengers gets very frustrated that this driver is not going any faster. Although, if you look at the video, there's people and other cars in the road.
Sure.
It's not like GTA. You can't floor it and get out of there.
Right.
All right. Oh, God, there is an active shooter. Okay.
So many people are dead.
Are you kidding me?
No.
They'd hit those people. Right. It's like you think this incident would have taught you more respect for human life, but the passengers in the cab are demanding the cab driver mow down people to get them away from the scene.
All right, go.
No.
All right,
no. Not too many, bro.
Okay, close the door.
They still have the door open?
Go.
Okay.
Lock the door.
Please
close the door. Is everybody in?
Yes.
Everyone's in.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. I'm going.
Oh, shit.
Please
drive as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
Taping
this shit?
Yeah, I am.
Let's go back.
Where are we going?
Please fucking videotaping this shit?
They hit the cab driver's phone because they're pissed.
I didn't know that it was so bad.
That he's videotaping. Now let's get to the first twist in the story. We're going to jump to 11:45.
Ooh, twists.
Here's a twist in the story.
I'm a girl, by the way, so.
Sorry, we're in.
No, that's okay. It's okay. It's cool. Are you kidding me?
So whatever this taxi driver is, it's a girl. It sounds like an autistic young boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a female, and they keep calling it a male even after she clarifies.
Well, I mean, it's like her gender is like ranked what on their priorities right now?
Right.
Like gender identifying her correctly is fifth at best.
Uh-huh.
At best.
All right. So let's.
Oh, my God.
There's
going
to be hundreds and hundreds of people dead.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Jackie, my parents are probably freaking the fuck out.
Yes.
No, I was just going to say, I think that trans people need to have like a special, you know, consideration for
shootings,
things like this.
Oh,
you know?
My God. Everywhere.
Oh my God.
I want to see if Sean's okay. Jackson's running.
So they keep yelling, oh my God, oh my God. So let's skip ahead to 1540. At a certain point, someone in the car is calling their family members and being like, oh, we're okay. Josh and I made it to a cab, right? Cab driver's still recording.
Everywhere. there's so many people.
Look at that fat hand.
Like the hundreds.
She's crying into the phone. And here's how the cab driver responds.
He finally told us just to run, so Justin and I just ran as fast.
Points the camera at her. The cab driver is driving while holding the camera into the person's face who's crying into the phone.
Yeah, this is a little demented.
Great journalism.
It's very uncomfortable. So this is
a hotel.
Well, no.
This is a real thing. This really happened. If this is not a manufactured video, then there is no fakery. So these people are dead. This is a terrible tragedy.
Okay.
So if anyone is in that camp, folks, you see the cab driver video and at least let's work from there.
Well, these are paid actors.
Hmm. Well, no.
Now we skip ahead, and the people in the car were actually strangers. So there's two couples, I think, and they jumped in the car together. So now they're introducing themselves to each other in the back seat.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm Justin.
Justin?
What's your name?
What's your name? Jackie.
Jackie and Justin, where are you guys from?
California.
Where's Discovery Bay?
Yeah. It's in Northern California.
How many
Does
people are in this car?
Know my name?
I don't know.
Like, I think there's four in the cab driver, and then you miss the funny twist.
Oh, he says, does anyone want to know my name?
Right?
Does anybody want to know my name?
No.
Everyone else know.
I what? I'm sorry.
I'm a girl, for God's sakes.
I'm sorry for...
That's okay. No, it's okay. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
We have bullets above our heads.
No.
And soon we learn what AR stands for in
AR-15. There was an AR and probably 1,000 shots.
What's an AR?
Automatic rifle.
Okay.
Dummy.
I'm not...
It doesn't stand for that, right? It's like auto-noxy or something?
It's definitely not that. Wait a minute. If I laugh and call somebody a dummy, should I know what it stands for?
I did
for?
Look it up, okay. And it's not assault rifle either.
No.
It's like its own class.
Assault rifle is a very made-up term to scare people.
All right, you guys got to watch this. We're going to get to the end of the video and see what happens there. They basically just pull into a parking center. They're like, let us out. They hate this taxi driver.
Desert Inn Road, is that okay?
Yes.
Stay away from Madeline.
What is that?
Yeah.
Is somebody, somebody's got money, right?
We're good right here. Someone's got money.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not serious.
Does anyone have money for the cab ride? The taxi driver asks.
Oh, see, I thought maybe this was a Lyft or the other one that is more popular.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe, but how would they? They ran up to the cab.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't run up to a person's car, I don't think. Well, maybe if you got shot, you would.
Right. Ah, yeah, this would be a cab. They would have been looking for a cab. Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. This guy's priorities do seem, or excuse me, this girl's priorities do seem a little disordered.
Right. So that's the shooting.
You have a theory about what happened here?
No.
No?
Yeah. Guy was bored.
Can we just, I don't mean to always go this direction with things, but this is the article that I was talking about. Las Vegas security guard Jesus Campos disappears moments before TV interviews.
Okay.
And I'll just give you a quick paragraph. Where in the world is Jesus Campos? The Mandalay Bay security guard shot by Stephen Paddock in the moments leading up to the worst mass shooting in modern U.S. history was set to break his silence Thursday night with 5 television interviews, including one on Fox News, Campos' union president said. Except when the cameras were about to roll, the media gathered in the building to talk to him, Campos reportedly bolted, and as of early Friday morning, it wasn't immediately clear where he was. And there's not much more to the story than that, but this man has disappeared.
Hey, he was probably just an illegal immigrant and realized that he probably shouldn't be on TV.
Oh, there is that. Sean Hannity tweets, he canceled. That's neat. Another interesting dimension to the story.
Thank you.
Disappearances.
In October 2017, the New York Times and the New Yorker reported that more than a dozen women had accused Harvey Weinstein of sexual harassing, assaulting, or raping them. Many other women in the film industry subsequently reported similar experiences with Weinstein. Now, this is a popular story this week. When this first came out, I said, oh, it's that guy from Fox News. I thought we already knew about him.
Right.
What was his name?
Roger Ailes.
Ah.
Or Bill O'Reilly.
No, I was thinking Roger Ailes.
Yep.
Here's just a bullet point list of some of the things that have been accused. 1984, Weinstein invited college junior Tommy Ann Roberts to his hotel in New York for a meeting ostensibly about a role in an upcoming film. Allegedly, he summoned her to the bathtub where he was nude and pressured her to take off her clothes.
Mm.
In 1990, seems like 6 year gap. Like, okay, it's not so bad. Right? Weinstein allegedly pushed actress Sophie Dix onto a bed. Is she popular?
I've never heard of her.
Sophie Dix onto the bed in the Savoy Hotel and pulled at her clothes. Dix then locked herself in the bathroom, and when she opened the door, she found Weinstein facing her and masturbating. Dix spoke to colleagues about the damaging incident, and months later, Weinstein called her to demand she stop talking.
Hmm.
Doubt it.
Well, just there are many 1990 incidents here, so...
I would have such a hard time masturbating staring at a closed bathroom door.
I know. Like, I totally agree.
How do you know when she's going to come out? It could be hours.
Actually, I've done it, but it was not with a prisoner on the other side. You know, maybe like say you're getting ready for a time with a lady, right? And she goes, I want to use the bathroom real quick,
right,
to do something, which I think is very polite, whatever it is. And yeah, you stand there and just kind of beat it a little bit. But you know that you're doing it with consensual sex,
sure,
possibly on the other side of that door. And not a rape charge.
1993, Weinstein allegedly exposed himself and chased swingers actress Catherine Kendall around a room in his apartment. Mm. Kendall says the traumatic encounter diminished the allure of working in the entertainment industry.
Mm. It's interesting. I've never heard of any of these people.
Mid to late 1990s, Weinstein helped British writer Lisa Campbell get a job as a freelance scriptwriter. He met with her in his London hotel room and allegedly asked her to bathe with him. Now, that's not assault. You can ask a person, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's the power dynamic,
sure,
that we're after here.
Right. Well, anyway, should we skip ahead to some more recent ones?
Yeah, let's see what he's done just like in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, December 2014, Weinstein allegedly propositioned temporary front desk assistant Emily Nestor repeatedly in a breakfast meeting her second day of work. A friend alerted HR, but Nestor didn't push the complaint further and ultimately decided not to go into the entertainment industry. So he's just being weird.
Mm-hmm.
2015, at the same hotel, Weinstein allegedly pressured a different assistant into giving him a naked massage.
These are just hotel employees at this point?
I get. Oh, no. Well, his assistants.
Oh, okay.
Front desk assistant.
Yeah, see, that's kind of unclear.
Probably at his office.
Oh, all right. Yeah. All
right. March 2015, Weinstein allegedly groped Italian model Ambra Betal... whatever her name is. She's foreign. At what was supposed to be a business meeting in his office, she reported the assault to the New York Police Department and extracted a taped admission of his behavior. But the Manhattan District Attorney's Office ultimately decided not to file charges. Weinstein later reached a settlement with the model. He's reaching a lot of settlements, it seems.
Why doesn't he just get hookers? And, like, say, I like to bathe with people.
Right.
And that's $200. Like, why try to antagonize these people into a tub and then pay out a big settlement?
Yeah.
When these are problems you could solve for $500 up front.
Well, it's hard to be in his brain, right? Because we're not Harvey Weinstein, do we own offices and have people work for us.
Right.
It's obviously a complex dynamic. Like, at some point, if your assistant's super nice to you, at some point, is your male brain like, oh, she's super nice to me because she's into it, right?
Yes, I bet you would think, as a lot of people kiss your ass and everywhere you go, it's like, yes, Mr. Weinstein.
Right.
Of course, Mr. Weinstein. That everybody just wants to bathe with you, too.
Sure.
Right.
And then you have a hard time differentiating work nice from naked nice.
Yeah, bath nice.
And then you'd go too far, obviously, which isn't an excuse.
Well, I think the other part of the psychology here is that as you get this wealth and the power that comes with it, and vice versa, the old pleasures and delights start to bore you.
Sure.
So it looks like he's almost and this is how people, I think, get into kids, Nick. I think this is how the whole Hollywood, Disney, all that shit, weird stuff Stanley Kubrick tried to warn us about in Eyes Wide Shut. Anyway, I think that they start to look for new challenges and types of excitement. And for Harvey Weinstein, it seems to be, you know, luring women into these situations in completely inappropriate contexts.
Right. Now, you knew about Harvey Weinstein, right? Because you're a movie person.
Sure.
So yeah. He's been a big name.
Absolutely. And Miramax Films.
So this came out this week. Was this like, oh my God, amazing? Or was this like, not a big deal.
I guess it depends on what your attitude towards Hollywood has been. I mean, I think especially after all the revelations at Fox News over the last couple of years, it's like, oh, yeah, there'd be creepy old men who would do this entertainment industry. Okay. Sure.
So who's the next one you think is going to be called out? Who's another Harvey Weinstein level that you think is probably evil?
It already happened immediately after with Ben Affleck. Did you hear about that? Oh, yeah. Ben Affleck, and like the people on the right are real excited about this because Harvey Weinstein was like a big donor to Democratic causes and campaigns. And Ben Affleck is, you know, one of these whiny, if you've never seen it, there's this, he tries to debate Sam Harris, who's a really smart guy, on Islam.
Okay.
And he's like, you're racist, you're gross. And that's his argument. And Sam Harris is like, no, these are the statistics on Islam and their attitudes towards extreme aspects of the religion. And Ben Affleck just almost cries and walks away. It happened on Real Time with Bill Maher. Everybody should see the video. Bill Maher, or sorry, Sam Harris, Ben Affleck, it's totally worth a watch. So Ben Affleck tweets or posts somewhere after the Weinstein thing, I'm appalled that I worked with such a person. Bleh. And then right in the replies for the tweet, someone's like, hey, you grabbed my boobs on TRL or something like that. Sure. No, you grabbed this person's boobs. And then the person whose boobs were grabbed comments on there and says, yep, I remember that. And then they found all these other tapes.
Isn't that big of a deal to grab boobs? Like, there's a big difference between being in public and you grab boobs and then being in a hotel room and you're like quaaluding a person.
Okay.
Boobs versus quaaludes.
Now,
that's the court.
There's a really interesting question there. Grabbed boobs when? Did you grab boobs in 1957? Did you grab boobs in 1997?
Right.
If you're trying to grab boobs in 2017, you are a completely insane person. You probably should be put in a straitjacket if you're out in public trying to grab boobs now. If we go back 20 years ago, I was a young man. It seemed okay to be kind of grabby with people at college, and it went both ways. Girls would grab you in the pants area.
Yeah, inner thighs or more.
Now, I think the politics of boob and crotch grabbing has changed in that time. People are, especially at that college age, people are much more apprehensive about doing these things. Or they should be.
Sure.
Now, in the 50s, if you've ever seen like Mad Men, they're slapping asses, they're poking nipple, they're, you know, doing all these little nipple tweaks and stuff.
Right.
I think that was a really difficult time for women. And I'm glad we don't live in that time anymore because... Well, I don't know. I'm just fruit.
Well, no, it's not like it should be normalized. Like every single day you don't deserve, like, I think that's probably assault. If like every day you're the secretary, your boss drops his pen, right? And he's like, pick up a pen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he slaps your butt.
Right.
But if one time you're drunk or whatever and you groped real quick, maybe I'm projecting. I don't think your whole life should be ruined. I don't know. It depends on, I mean, if you got aggressive and you're a dangerous person, sure.
How about,
I don't know, whatever.
How about this? At the end of every year, you get, if you're like the big high powered executive and you have the, you know, the high power or the assistant that works for you with the breasts, right?
Are you going to say you get a certain number of grabs?
You get one honk.
Oh, jeez.
One honk at the end of the year.
No, I don't know.
How about one honk at the end of a career for a job well done? Like, hey, by that point, scratch that idea. That seems, something seems impractical about that.
I walk in and it's just Harvey.
Ooh.
And he immediately starts massaging my neck. I heard him open a bottle of champagne and I don't even think I had a sip and he exposed himself.
He's doing what you said.
Right.
Take out your dick.
Yeah, but that's not how that works.
I think that Harvey Weinstein could say, you know, that Brett, he told me to do this.
I would do interviews, and I would say he misunderstood what I was saying. The context is very important. You need to already know that the girl likes you, and she already has to have done a couple passes, like with her forearm, if you're sitting together. There has to be some interest.
Sure, or it has to be the end of your career. yeah. Which actually it is. Ironically, right. It is. As soon as you expose yourself, it is the end of your career.
Well,
right.
Once you're exposed for being
exposed. For being exposed.
Right. Exactly. But, I mean, if this guy does this, here's the scary question, Nick, about this industry.
Mm-hmm.
If a man says, here we are, I should take my dick out now.
Sure.
How many times has that been successful for him?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because it's a totally insane thing to do before there's even a smooch, before there's even a sip of champagne, before you've even been able to drop any kind of a pill champagne.
I don't know where you even get that idea. Where do you even learn that?
I know. I think it is just like the next level excitement for somebody like Harvey Weinstein.
Sure. But like we said, they're not getting a calibrated response from the world.
No.
Like, for example, if you're a hot girl, you don't get a calibrated response from the world, so you become boring.
Oh.
And dumb. So Harvey Weinstein doesn't get a calibrated response because he's been successful for so long. But then again, you should be able to watch the news and be like, oh, wait, no, taking your earthworm out is not appropriate.
Right.
Before she's had a sip of champagne.
These are things you think you would pick up from the movies you were producing.
Right.
Right? Like, if you were in a writer's room and someone's like, okay, so they go up to the hotel, right? And then it's like, all right, so we need to, like, build a kind of romantic tension between them, right? And then one of the writers, and Harvey's just kind of observing. Him and Bob are just in the room, like, you know, overlooking what the writers are putting together here. And one of the writers goes, okay, how about instead of the romantic tension, he just whips his dick out?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, even if we were going for something that's realistic at that point, you think that the producers would speak up and say, no, too soon. Also, we can't have a dick in the movie because it's rated R. And we don't want to go NC-17 and you know, close off some of our market because right. We had a dick in it. We don't need to have a dick in the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. So Courtney Love, back in 2005, this video has come out. It's 12 whole seconds long. They're like, oh, she tried to warn us. So let's take and listen to this.
Hi, Comedy Central. Do you have any advice for a young girl moving to Hollywood?
She pauses.
I'll get lively with us. If Harvey Weinstein invites you to a private party in the Four Seasons, don't go.
Huh.
She says, if Harvey Weinstein invites you to a private party at the Four Seasons, don't go. That's all.
She didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Is she still alive?
I don't know. Who was that? Courtney Love?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, it's her husband who died.
I have no clue.
My understanding.
This is not Pop Culture with Nick. it's called News with Nick, where all I know about is stuff that happened in the last month.
But I tell you, man, pop culture is the barometer of what's really going on in the world. That's just a thing that I'm not going to explain.
Right.
Okay.
No, it makes sense because it's the content that's coming out, right?
Right, right. Or, you know, you know about predictive programming.
What?
Yo, you don't know about predictive programming?
I'm sure I know. I'm sure I just don't know it by the term.
That future political agendas are pushed through entertainment by embedded messages in media.
Okay.
It's a conspiracy theory.
Right.
But, you know, there's some credible evidence that sometimes it exists in certain mediums.
Yeah. Back when I was a kid, I used to play with my sister a lot. We'd play sports games or whatever.
Sure.
And I always had to be this character. I was never myself.
Right? Oh.
So if we were playing superheroes, I was a secret man, right? I don't know why.
I'd walk around. Secret man.
That was my superhero name.
Mm-hmm.
My name is just Secret Man.
Okay.
I guess I just keep secrets and have a wooden gun.
All right.
This wooden gun that I carry around, and I wrote Secret Man on
it. What kind of superhero has a gun?
Exactly. Well, maybe I wasn't a real superhero. I was kind of like a Batman style that used technology, but my only technology was a gun.
All right.
And that I could be secret, and I had a mask.
All right.
The point of the story is when we'd play sports games, like catch balls or whatever, I'd need a sports like hero name too.
Mm-hmm.
And my sports hero name, this was before this ended up being a term. My sports hero name was the D.
The D?
I've never told anyone this before. And so my mom's listening now, but this is very awkward because back in the day, the D, that didn't mean anything. Nowadays, Harvey Weinstein whips out the D.
Right.
Right. But I'm like, I want my sports name to be the D. And it was based on a completely innocent thing. I was a fan of Deion Sanders and this linebacker, Dexter Coakley. I'm like, those guys are awesome. And they both start with D.
Right.
I want to be the D.
Indeed.
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 Right?
Yeah.
So now, thinking back, I'm like, wow, I was the D. Weird.
Huh. Have you ever talked to your sister about it?
No.
Now, you came up with the name.
Yeah.
And she said, that sounds sporty and like successful in sports.
Sure.
As Dion was.
Yeah, my sister was my sidekick, secret person.
Was Dion any good, or was he just all flash?
Deion Sand? I thought he was good, but then again, I was a kid. I'm pretty sure he was good.
Do you know he also tried to play the baseball?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think he was good at that.
That didn't go well.
No. Speaking of football, Miami Dolphins offensive line coach resigns after powder snorting video. Chris Forster has resigned his position from the Miami Dolphins hours after a video surfaced showing the team's offensive line coach snorting a white powdery substance off what is believed to be his desk at the team's training facility.
This is baffling.
Yeah?
How did this video happen?
Well, I'm glad you've asked.
Yes.
Here's the sort of the transcript. Hey, babe, miss you, thinking about you. How about me going to a meeting and doing this before I go? That was me not having a cold. That was me. I mean, I do have a cold, but that was me actually acting out the video. There's those big grains falling, but I miss you. I miss you a lot. What do you think? Crazy. I know, babe. It's going to be a while before we can do this again because I know you're going to keep that baby.
Oh, again, a man's priorities are out of whack. If you're planning a family, you don't want to have a cocaine habit.
Here's the video. Now, why is everyone keeping snorting out of dollar bills? That's all they got?
It seems kind of gross. It's like you're probably snorting other people's boogers and poop particles.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, babe. Miss you. Thinking about you. How about me going to a meeting and doing this before I go?
It's very quiet. Sorry.
What? Oh, my God.
There's this big...
His dirty talk is talking to this lady... his wife or whoever. Who do you think it is? You think it's his wife probably?
No, it's some kind of a mistress.
Why wouldn't it be his wife?
Brain's falling, but I miss you. I miss you a lot.
Now, when you're a crack addict, do you always go through one nose, one side, or do you mix it up?
Who's working the camera? Did you see the camera angle just change?
Oh, yeah, what the heck? He's doing it himself. He has to be.
Wait. It just did a tilt. It tilted from the Coke table to, like, a high position. Oh, he did it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he's got a webcam.
What do you think? Crazy? No, babe. It's going to be a while before we can do this again. Because I know you're going to keep that baby.
I know you're going to keep that baby.
But I think about you when I do it. I think about how much I miss you, how high we got together, how much fun it was. So much fun.
So he's taunting her, basically. Like, remember when we used to get high and you have a baby now so you can't? Here's me getting high.
Oh, my God. That's true. Because if she's pregnant, it can't be like an advertisement for cocaine unless he's really responsible. Like, hey, let's celebrate you keeping that baby by doing cocaine. Me, you, and the baby.
Yep.
I'm baffled by this. I don't know what sense to make of this.
I wish I was looking this off your pussy.
Well, oh, God.
If anyone couldn't hear, he says, I wish I was licking this off your pussy. And he licks the final crack off of his finger or whatever it was. It could have been talcum powder, I suppose.
This is kind of like an example of what happens when people get rich and bored and powerful and bored. They start doing cocaine, not just doing cocaine. I mean, that's like step one. That's like rich guy starter pack is cocaine. But like they start doing cocaine off increasingly inappropriate places.
Right.
Nick, if you've ever seen The Wolf of Wall Street.
The chat says you can't snort crack. That's for smoking, right? So did we get our terms
crack
mixed
is for
up?
Smoking. Yeah, crack is for smoking. This looks like cocaine.
OK,
but he could just be putting on a show here. That could be something harmless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the girl he sent this to, this is her.
Ooh, now she's black.
And that is apparently his, mistress or something. And so she says on Facebook, so she leaked the video.
Okay. Oh.
Right. And she says, my motive was to basically expose the inequalities in the system. It's not just the NFL. The inequalities that come with being, it feels like someone must have written this for her, like helped her compose it.
Yeah.
No judgment.
Right.
But then we'll look at her Facebook post that she probably wrote herself. the inequalities that come with being a minority compared with a white privileged person in America in general.
It always goes here.
This is shining light on the inequalities we have as a country. We don't get paid the same amount as everyone else. To be completely honest, me and my best friend actually already had plans to record him some way regardless to expose him. Even if he didn't send this video, he was going to be exposed because it needed to be exposed. How do we have someone who's paid millions to be a leader for a team doing blow when we can't have blacks kneeling for the anthem? After I realized his habits and who he was and everything going on in the system, he was going to get exposed. So it's like, we're getting pissed at people for kneeling, yet this white guy, millionaire, smoking blow, smoking whatever.
It would be so funny if we wrapped up the news show in a little bit and we went and turned on the TV to watch Ellen, and she was sitting in the guest chair on Ellen, and Ellen's like, "You're so brave." That would be funny to me.
Here's her Facebook post.
Written
a little bit differently than the prepared statement. The white people mad at me like I forced blow down this man's nose and like I recorded it on the low. Emoji, emoji.
Emojis.
No, these are his habits. And he recorded himself and sent it to me professing his love. Eye roll. So quick to make excuses for him, but will roast a minority player over an anthem, dogfights, weed, domestic issues, etc. But y'all keep saying all lives matter, STFU. Although she does bring up domestic issues and dogfights. Like, dogfights are pretty bad. I don't know about the anthem and the weed. But dogfights and domestic issues are still kind of bad.
Yeah, I the dogfights, domestic issues, those are cultural problems in the black football player community for sure. But, I mean, who's saying this guy, because he's white and he's a man and he's a powerful, when they see that video, they go, oh, that's okay. I think whoever does this, whoever made a video like this, should push themselves off a cliff, right? This is ridiculous.
How do you push yourself off a cliff?
I don't know. You stand at the edge of a cliff and you go, fuck face, and you fall. Yeah. I kind of push my own chest and went back.
When I weigh myself, I try to lift up on my butt so that I'm less on the scale.
What are you weighing in at?
I think at like 162.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
I feel like we're about the same size, and I weigh 190.
Well, you're much more muscular.
I don't, not anymore. I'm much less muscular now. But anyway, maybe I'm fatter.
We can compare on the scale after the show.
Oh, yeah, we could. So she is what? What kind of industry is she in? She's in a very tight pink dress that is very revealing, even though the coverage of it is pretty good. You can really see her curves. And she's up against a... She also looks like she could be a man in a wig. Oh, no, not in these pictures. She looks much nicer here.
Do you want to see a video about new details about her?
Yeah, sure.
Let's see what it says.
Her name is Kiwana Neej Sharad.
I have an ad block on, and it's not working at all.
You know, if you are one of these... Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh. Nope, she's a model. Just said.
Oh, okay. So she's not a... The picture looked like it could have been like a postcard for a prostitute or a little advertisement for a hooker.
Ooh. Forrester initially got in touch with her in September when he responded to her ad in the Men Seeking Women section of Backpage.com. Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, she posted an ad in Men Seeking Women? Huh?
Yeah, that's a little unclear. So she might be doing a little escorting. Okay, so this is actually pretty common in the modeling and porn to make extra money, because I think a lot of these, especially in porn, people are losing opportunities to make money because porn is free everywhere. Like, anytime you see a new scene and they're like, sign up for our website, it's $19.99 a month and you can watch this scene. You copy and paste the title of that scene and put it into Google and there it is.
Oh, okay.
Someone has posted it for free for you.
Right. Yeah, no, if you're on Backpage, we all know what Backpage is for, except for Andrew. That one time he showed up at that house and the cops were like, we know you heard about this on Backpage. And he goes, what? What are you talking about?
Wow, that's an interesting story.
A funny story from Andrew. Yeah, ask him about that.
Okay.
He was fine. He was there for a completely different reason, but the cops were already there.
Interesting.
Going, you heard about this on Backpage? He's like, I don't even know what Backpage is, because Andrew doesn't go on the internet.
Right.
Well, anyway, that's that.
Is that that? I feel like that. This is just the beginning.
Nope. That's he resigned. He's going to rehab, just like Harvey Weinstein. They're going to be together.
Wasn't there another football man who did? Yes, there was. That was college, and that was kids. So that's different.
Right. He's not in rehab.
No. My goodness.
Sandusky is in normal hab.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what you called them. You hear about this guy? He's Austin Rogers. He was on Jeopardy. He won 8 times in a row.
Yeah, is that that's a lot
or something?
I feel like there was a Ken Jennings who won more times in a row than that.
I think Ken Jennings won more than 8. Yeah.
Okay, but
I think
this
it was
guy,
like 72.
What?
72 or 73?
So people are excited about this guy with 8.
Right, but they're not necessarily excited that he's won. They're excited that he actually has a character.
Okay.
Like he acts certain ways. So here's him on this show with Jimmy Fallon. Is this his name?
This is Jimmy Fallon.
It's a bartender from New York whose 9-day cash winnings total $332,400.
Yeah. So he's already making fun of the show.
Oh, he's making fun of Fallon.
No, he's making fun of Jeopardy.
Oh,
he's okay. Doing the voice where it's like Austin Rogers, a bartender from New York.
Hey. Austin Rogers, a bartender from New York, whose 9-day cash winnings total $332,400. Yeah.
That is a long ass time to stare at a camera.
Yeah, but I know. But
you're just like staring, and you're like red light, red light, red light, red light,
know,
red light,
red
light,
red light. I know, but are you psyched that you're on television, or did you? Does that bother?
Oh, no, being on television is great.
But did you understand?
Staring and fake smiling like this.
I know, but
it's terrible.
I want to show a little. We have a clip of just some highlights from your run on Jeopardy. These are the intros. Check these out. Let's see.
It's video.
Oh, now I like him. Now I like him.
It's videos of him, his intro, right? When they go down the line, they show everyone on the screen, and he's just doing different dances or waves.
Yeah. The one where he's on the phone is very funny.
It's a puppy.
Oh, he got a haircut halfway through. Oh, no, he won like 9 days.
Oh, these guys are dorks.
Yep. So here's him on the actual show. We're going to watch all 28 minutes of this.
Okay. He now has a 3-day total of 96,100.
Our returning.
Fullness, for example.
What is a hymn?
Hymn is right. You double your score, you've moved into the lead. Double. You have been trailing for quite some time in this Double Jeopardy round.
6,400.
All right.
I guess it's not that interesting in audio form.
After,
but he does look.
He has little gestures.
Right.
Yeah. He's a cute man.
Yeah.
He's very cutesy.
Right. And he's smart. And he runs the trivia night at his local bar.
Oh, that's cool.
And this apparently still works there.
Trivia is great.
Is it?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. So check out trivia at your nearest bar.
The parents of a missing Texas girl who was sent outside for not drinking milk are now not cooperating with the investigation.
Oh, we got a JonBenet Ramsey story.
Yep. The FBI and police have collected evidence overnight at Sharin Matthews' home. Investigators are looking through her parents' vehicles, computers, and cell phones, as well as surveillance video from neighbors. The girl's father, Wesley Matthews, was arrested on child endangerment charges after he reported her missing on Saturday. So he says, authorities are searching Monday for a 3-year-old suburban girl who went missing over the weekend. Her father allegedly made her stand outside in the middle of the night as punishment for not drinking her milk.
Oh.
That's what he told the police.
All right.
He ordered Sharin Matthews to stand next to a tree behind the fence at the Richardson home around 3 a.m. Saturday. According to an arrest affidavit, the tree is across the alley from the home. So you're in the house. It's 3 a.m. Who knows what you're doing up at 3 a.m. with your kid, right?
Yeah, okay. That is very fishy.
Trying to get him to drink milk.
Right.
Now, maybe the kid's up. But then it's like, she won't drink milk. So like, okay, go outside and stand next to a tree across an alley.
Right.
He says he went outside 15 minutes later, but she was gone. The child, who has a developmental disability, was wearing leggings, a pink long-sleeve shirt, and pink flip-flops. So she was asking for it? I don't get it.
So this is a story about parents who killed their kid, and they have to drag it out with a like, "Ooh, where is the kid?"
Right.
And before
they say the father didn't notify police that his daughter was missing until about 5 hours later. And the police sergeant added that the delay in reporting the matter is certainly concerning to us. Police said Matthews went back inside the house thinking Sharin would eventually come back home. While he was waiting, he did some laundry and hoped that the light would come around so he could do a better check. So he goes outside. Well, say this is legit. Like, you really did send the kid outside. And then you go check on it and it's gone. You're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, I better not call the police because I look like an idiot now. I lost the kid, even if you didn't kill the kid.
And the reason for sending the kid outside also makes you look like an idiot and a terrible parent.
Yeah, why would you not? You got 5 hours to think of something better than she didn't drink her milk.
I don't know why everybody thinks milk is good for
you. Like, I left the door unlocked. Right. She wandered out. I wasn't looking. Sorry, I'm distraught.
That is, I think that's more suspicious. I think you have to do like she disappeared at the mall. No, there's no way you can lose a kid and not look like a stupid asshole. Like, this is not JonBenet Ramsey time anymore. I don't even remember how she disappeared. Some other weird story, like she went in the basement and was never seen again.
Oh, hey, a lot of people have asked why the little girl was drinking milk at 3 a.m. Matthews told police she was malnourished when they adopted her from India. They were doing feedings throughout the day and night.
Oh!
But wait, that doesn't mean you send the kid outside as punishment to not drink the milk. You're malnourished. You won't even eat more? Get out of here.
Right.
Oh, boy. So, well, anyway, the kid's lost, and so they've arrested the dad for endangerment.
Could we get a sense, are there any videos where there's a shot of the house? I'd be interested in seeing how these people are living, right? Because this is like a very bad parent thing to do for sure, which suggests certain, economic problems.
Sure.
But who is in a terrible economic situation or living in a really bad area where three-year-olds are snatched and says, let's adopt a disabled kid from India? That'll get us on the right track.
I do not have any photos of the house that I can see.
Things are not really, these pieces don't fit together.
Right. But police do want to know why the SUV left the home at about 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. So, like, they're saying the car actually left. They have evidence that the car left. So now you could say, well, we were looking for her, right? Or right. You could say, well, we were dumping her jammies.
yeah. Oh, this is terrible.
Family left the SUV at about 4 a.m. the day she disappeared and returned home within an hour.
What? So they must have that story. They must say, yo, we went out and we looked for her with the car. And I mean, that would make perfect sense.
It seems like they said, the parents have stopped cooperating, so they're probably not even answering. They have a lawyer now. So the lawyer is probably saying, don't even answer that, why the SUV was missing.
I mean, you are also, if you send your kid outside at 3 a.m. and something bad happens to them, you might certainly bear responsibility for that legally. Right.
Now, the coming Civil War is coming. The Civil War is coming, Brett, and it's going to be fought out in fast food stores. I don't know if you know. A worker in a popular Texas-based fast food chain has
now
been
to that ABC News exclusive. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl is talking to cameras for the first time since being released.
Who is that? Who is that?
Bo Bergdahl?
Oh.
Aside from a fun name to say, he was a deserter who Obama let off the hook, I think.
Oh.
It was a big, divisive story years ago. Bo Bergdahl.
Oh, so he's old news? I guess he's new news because he's going to court?
He broke his silence for the first time. He fled, and I guess he was living with the Taliban or something.
Oh.
As people will do, you know?
Anyway, back to more important stuff.
Indeed.
A worker at a fast food chain has been fired for refusing to serve two police officers. Yes. Denison Police Chief Jay Birch says in a Facebook post, his officer was trying to get something to eat at Whataburger early Saturday when an unidentified female employee declined to serve them, saying, cops beat up my boyfriend and are racists. So she's fired. Can you believe the amount of outrage this country goes through at fast food chains?
Why? What other examples are coming to mind for you?
Well, we always have these stories of the blacks calling up the 911, going, I only got five in my six-piece McNugget.
Do we always have those stories about the blacks, Nick? Always?
Sometimes it's not a black.
I've only heard one. I've only heard one such incident.
Really?
Oh, we're saying this is there's a
people
pattern.
Call the police because their fast food meal is chat right in. This happens all the time.
Yeah, send links to examples of stories where black people call 911 because they're upset about fast food.
I bet you I could Google it, and I bet you it happened this week.
Yeah, see, go to YouTube and see if you can find blacks calling 911 about fast food compilation, maybe is a good set of search terms.
I'm going to YouTube calls 911 over fast food. This one is 8 years old.
Wow, so this is not a new problem.
All right, let's get one from three.
Flying out of McDonald's in Mesa after a couple gets frustrated with a wrong order.
Yeah, frustrated, to say the least here. This husband and wife claim bad customer service drove them to it. As ABC 15's Lauren Vargas reports, the couple now is facing charges.
This is from 3 years ago, by the way. This isn't the 8 years.
Okay.
It all started over hash browns.
It's a meal. You should get a meal just like you would get your fries with your hamburger.
Oh, is she? What is she?
Not black.
She's not black.
It's hard to tell. Oh, why'd they have to make the first one so hard to identify?
I'm not sure it matters.
We should have got our hash browns with our breakfast sandwiches.
Michael and Nova Smith ordered their usual breakfast meals at this brand new McDonald's in Mesa.
And the customer's always right, supposedly.
Okay, he is a Mexican.
Yeah, they look Hispanic, but his name's Smith. Is that a Hispanic name?
His name is Smith?
They said their name was Smith.
He could have had like a white dad, like a Smith dad.
You know when the news comes around and you give your fake name? That's probably what they did.
Oh, possibly.
But when their order came back without the hash browns, the couple went inside and things got out of control.
I like how the woman's inflection makes it sound like a news story.
Because I threw my bag. I did. But I did not hit anybody. Because if I was going to hit somebody, it would have been the person in front of me.
Michael Smith says when managers wouldn't hand back the food or give them a refund, he called 911, then walked behind the counter to confront the manager.
Oh my God.
I just was barely able to hold myself back. And if not for the 911 call operator calling me back, I probably would have went berserk on him.
Officer.
He needed someone from 911 to call him back and say it's going to be okay over the hash browns.
Okay, so we have
going to lose it.
Let's face it, we have a multiracial problem, and I think almost like devoting another YouTube video to this investigation is worth our time if it's okay with you.
I'm sorry that I said black.
All right.
I didn't mean to. I mean, I didn't mean to imply.
McNugget emergency.
Alliance Police and Fire, what's the problem?
I have bought some Chinese food and it's not to par.
The 911 call came from Tracy McLeod at dinner time Monday.
Okay.
She claimed Main Moon Chinese restaurant refused to give her a refund.
And this is why you called 911?
What am I supposed to do? Jump over the thing and beat him up and get my money back?
I could have called the regular police line instead of the life-threatening emergency line. I will.
Oh, well, they transferred me. Wait a minute. They transferred me to you.
We're going to need, you know, the Nevada has the Nevada Gaming Commission.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need the fast food dispute hotline because we can't be having the police handle this stuff. But it seems like it's happening all the time.
All right. Well, but more importantly here, the blacks call 911 with fast food complaints narrative is falling apart a little bit. All right. First family is Hispanic.
Right.
And it even seems like, what was his name? Robert Smith? No, that's the guy from The Cure.
Yeah,
Richard
Smith.
Michael Smith. He was adopted. I'm guessing he was a Mexican baby adopted by whites, which is how he got the name. His wife was also Hispanic, not black. The second lady is black, but there's an interesting twist to the story here. She was transferred to the life-threatening emergency line when she just called the regular police, actually kind of being responsible, trying
right.
to, like, because, you know, a lot of people, they don't know, they don't have good mediation skills. So when there's a problem, they say, who do you call? You call the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so it's not the blacks, probably. It is the fast food goers. Now, who are fast food goers? The poors and the fats. So for the most part, the poors and the fats. I don't see this happening at Panera. I don't see this happening at even anything above Panera, right? So Subway's probably below Panera.
Subway's below
Panera. So up to Subway, probably this could happen at. I'm saying Panera and above, even like Applebee's. That's pretty trashy. That's probably happened at Applebee's.
Applebee's is on the same level as Panera.
Right.
Yeah.
But you don't see this happening at steak restaurants. There's not a high-class men calling the police going, excuse me, but my steak was, I ordered a medium rare, and they brought it out medium well, and they won't give me my $120 back.
Mm. So right? This goes back to what LaWanda was saying, right, about her cocaine-snorting John from the Miami Dolphins, right?
Sure.
Look at the different rules for different people.
Yep.
Right? Man in the steakhouse says, my steak isn't... My dad used to do this all the time. He was a wealthy white. That's a good name for a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Wealthy white. And he'd be like, oh, this is overcooked. And they'd be like, oh, sir, my God, we're so sorry. Now, you could also say that the rules for each establishment are different. Like, people should know that they're just going to get not good food at the Chinese restaurant or McDonald's, and it's kind of like the arrangement, the agreement ahead of time. So this is actually quite a tangled web, this problem.
Right. So this comes into our next story.
Oh.
McDonald's apologizes after its Szechuan sauce stunt goes wrong. Is that how you pronounce this?
Szechuan.
Szechuan. Last week, we learned that the world's biggest fast food chain, McDonald's, was set to bring its special Szechuan sauce for one day only in a very limited supplies. And I was like, what is Szechuan sauce? It apparently is related to this show called Rick and Morty. Have you seen this show?
I watched one episode, and I found it disturbing.
Damn. I was hoping that you were a Rick and Morty expert, because there's the ongoing joke on the internet where if you're a Rick and Morty fan, you think that you have a high IQ and that you need to have a high IQ to understand it.
Mm.
Here's a scene where they try to get some of this sauce.
Welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, I'd like to get a 10-piece McNugget and a bunch of the Szechuan sauce. Like, as much as you're allowed to give me. In 1998, they had this promotion for the Disney film Mulan, where they created a new sauce for the McNuggets called Szechuan sauce, and it's delicious. And then they got rid of it, and now it's gone. This is the only place we're going to be able to try it. It's in my memory.
Rick, you're doing this bit while your brain is melting.
Okay, all right.
I think by context clues, I figured out by this, I think this episode, I don't think he's time traveling. I think he's in his memory, traveling through his own memory.
Yeah.
And he's gone back, so in a sense, he's gone back in time, but only through his memory.
It's kind of like the multiverse. This is what the show uses. They go from dimension to dimension.
Right. So he orders some of this sauce, and this isn't the only time it was mentioned, but it's like, well, do they say what it's made out of on the show? I guess you wouldn't know, because you're not. I was hoping you were the Rick and Morty expert.
I only saw one or two episodes, and I thought that this Rick, I think that's this guy's name. They say that this is based on Back to the Future, and this is supposed to be like the crazy old man,
right?
And Morty is Marty McFly.
That makes sense.
But he was just so negligent to the boy. It's like he's always one step short of just leaving him outside at 3 a.m. over milk. But no. One step beyond. He's doing things where the boy breaks his legs. The boy falls and breaks his legs, and he doesn't even care. And this is his family. So, and he drinks. He's left alone with this child to care for this child. So he's got negligent parents who are not involved. He is the father of the boy's mother, so he's the grandfather of the boy, and that's a special relationship, you know?
Right.
But he just lets him fall and break his legs and go through other dangerous dimensions.
Well, sure. I mean, there's a lot of shows where the hero is actually kind of a dick.
But this was too much for me.
Well, anyway, everyone showed up at McDonald's, and it worked, I guess. So, but the theory was, okay, you get to McDonald's, you get your sauce, and you're good. What ended up happening was they got to McDonald's, and some of the McDonald's, like, we don't have any sauce, or restaurants had been stocked with as few as 20 packets, and some outlets didn't even receive their batches. So everyone heard about the sauce promotion, showed up, and it's like, well, we don't have any.
Right.
And they got mad. They're chanting. That's a full McDonald's there.
That, yeah.
And they're chanting at these $5 employees.
Yeah.
$5. And they're like, well, we don't have the sauce. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah. I mean, well, all right. So let's make some conclusions.
Right.
About this. What do you think?
What do you mean? McDonald's messed up, but they've admitted it. And they're going to be reopening and bringing back some sauce.
Okay, so McDonald's, you spoke. Well, they didn't speak. There was no conversation. All I heard was chanting.
That was speaking.
I don't think so.
I think people spoke on Twitter. They went to Twitter and they said, this is crazy. I wanted some of this sauce. Now, I don't know what it tastes like. What? Couldn't you just put water in like a packet and just seal it with the special artwork?
Sure. Yeah, you could do that.
Yesterday, we were truly humbled by the amazing curiosity, passion, and energy this community showed to welcome back Szechuan sauce, even for one day. Now, did McDonald's really do a thing for Mulan?
That could also be made up.
Right.
The Szechuan sauce thing must have a Wikipedia page, so I will look into that.
Why would they say bring back Szechuan sauce? Anyway.
Right.
Between the costumes, the memes, and they said in an official outlet they used the word memes.
Hmm.
And the cross-state travel, you, the fans, showed us what you got in our super limited batch, though well-intentioned clearly wasn't near enough to meet demand. Not cool.
Ugh.
We agree. We're going to make it right. In the past 24 hours, we worked to open any portal necessary, and it worked. Now, is that a joke that it's a portal?
Yeah, that's a okay. reference to Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And what does that say about the show that the fans behave like this about Sauce?
Szechuan Sauce is coming back once again this winter. Yeah, that all they do is sit at home watching Rick and Morty. And instead of being a one day only and limited to select restaurants, we're bringing in more and a lot more. Now, this opened up an opening for scammers and people to make money on this sauce. So say you got a packet of sauce.
Yes.
You've realized now, uh-oh, this is one of the most in-demand items in the entire country.
A hot commodity.
Right. So how much do you think that's worth, probably, on eBay?
This is where I think the story is going to take a really dark turn.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, anyway, now before we get to what people are actually selling the sauce for, here's some other things that people are selling on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
A framed picture of Szechuan sauce packet from McDonald's Rick and Morty promo, $9.99. 21 sold. Now, this is a framed Now, this is not even a framed used packet. I could even understand that. Okay, I used the packet, but here's the official artwork.
385 viewed per hour? That might be more people than are looking at my show. You see the problem?
So when you eBay Szechuan sauce and you try to figure out what people are selling, there's a lot of these clickbait scams that are like, here's a framed picture of the sauce packet. So basically, you're just buying a frame for $10. Maybe that's not a bad deal on a frame, but you're not getting anything.
Mm.
21 sold. Here's another thing. Here's the description of it. Once purchased, I'll send you this spectacular HP DeskJet 2600 printed photo of a genuine packet. No sauce included. Now, here's a picture of the packet, and the description on this eBay listing is Rick and Morty, McDonald's, Szechuan sauce, and posters, store list and info only. Wait, what does that mean? Am I getting the sauce and posters? But no, you realize McDonald's special Szechuan one-day sauce locations for sauce and posters. So he's selling the list of the stores that have the sauce.
Okay.
No refund if the store is out. And it's still listed there, by the way. I mean, this was still listed when I checked this several days later.
Many were sold as well.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
14.
14 sold. $18 each.
184 viewed per hour.
At the list of the stores. Here's one more. Oops. Don't expose that. Here's one. Missed out on getting the sauce at McDonald's? Well, with this photo of a packet, you won't feel left out. Yes, this is just the digital photo of the packet. I will send it to you on eBay. Nothing physical will actually be sent to you. This was 99 cents.
That's reasonable.
Only 99 cents for a digital photo of the packet that you could just get on images.google.com.
Yeah.
Because it was a clickbait. Now, this guy got a bad review, and I said, well, he wasn't sending actual sauce. Here is the price of the actual sauce. McDonald's Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce, 1 ounce packet, new and sealed, limited, rare. Two sold for $150 each.
So we are beyond. Do you understand what this story reveals? Life was simple two stories ago when we were talking about poor people calling 911.
Uh-huh.
Right? But now the plot has definitely thickened, right? Because poor people can't spend. Well, actually, maybe this is why they're poor. Because they do purchase like one packet of sauce for $150.
I bet your rent-a-center has these.
Now, I mean, if you're on welfare and you get a check for $300, you say, wow, I could certainly afford a $150 sauce packet this week because I just got the $300. But how poor are the people who are watching Rick and Morty? Right? Is that a poor people show?
I wouldn't think so.
And it's certainly not a racial or a culturally limited problem. I wouldn't think. I would think most of Rick and Morty's audience are, whites. So we're fucked. this was fine when we could just say, oh, maybe it's limited to poor people in the inner city who are overweight and don't know how to solve their own problems.
Right.
Well, I guess I'm safe. But we're not. We're not even safe right where we sit right now from this. And what's next? Ah, another. Okay.
A young girl was playing with her family members in an ice cream shop in Alabama when she suddenly fell into the 6-foot deep grease pit and drowned.
That's terrible.
That's the end of the story.
Okay.
That sucks. I think it happened like a couple days ago. Now, so what's a 6 foot deep grease pit? Do you make ice cream out of that? Or is that just different than is it like part of the building rather than part of the ice cream making process?
This is just an ice cream shop. This isn't fast food chain. I don't think this fits our narrative.
No, it's fine. This is just another story. Yeah, I don't know what to do about the rest of the narrative. I think people need to have better things to worry about than their fast food and their sauce. But sometimes we need these distractions. You need to be able to look forward to your sauce. Otherwise, what's the point?
Now, have you heard any commentary on this? Like, has anyone tried to, you know, posit a theory about what's going on here? Or has anyone tried to make sense of the Szechuan sauce thing?
Oh, the chat says it's probably a Rick and Morty guerrilla advertisement campaign.
Oh, maybe. That's possible. What was the last one that messed it with everybody? Was it Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Oh, that was years and years ago. Yeah, that happened. And then some people are saying, oh, it's McDonald's just doing, they're scamming. They're like, okay, they're pulling in 100 people, right? Only 20 of them get sauce, but now the rest of them have to buy a burger. You're there.
Right.
Well, either way, it's good publicity, no matter what, for both the show and the fast food establishment, right?
Well, you know, I'm leaving. You're the last person I'm going to see in New Hampshire before I go on a cross-country trip. And I think I hear these kinds of stories, right, from the safety of my home here. But I'm going to go out and I'm going to see the country. And I hope in 40 days I'm able to understand these kinds of things better. But I'm really just baffled right now.
So you're leaving. You're driving.
Yeah. Today to Connecticut.
Very good. Are you doing a show from there?
Yes, I am tonight.
Do you ever feel like, oh, it's me again. I'm doing a show again. Do you always feel like you're always talking to a mic?
And I've actually kind of thought, like, how many shows should I do on this trip so people don't get sick of me? I'm going to try and do, like, 10 to 12 posts the whole trip. Not more than that.
Okay.
So, we'll see.
Did you want to cover anything further? I feel like we should wrap up so you can clean my house and get... Just kidding, you don't have to clean my house.
No, I plan to. We have any more stories?
Oh, we had this guy...
The Lone Star
Fugitive Task Force is hunting for a suspected sexual predator before he finds his next victim. Tomas Gutierrez has been in Austin since 2011, and investigators say he uses his charm to lure in little girls. Take a closer look at this man in tonight's Marshall's Most Wanted.
We're looking for Tomas Gutierrez. He also goes by the name of Tomas Hernandez.
35-year-old Tomas Gutierrez is wanted for continuous sexual abuse of a...
This is such a strange story because they keep saying he's wanted and he keeps doing this, but we can't catch him. How does he keep doing it then?
I don't like these stories where I look at a picture of somebody and I go, oh, is that my dad? And then you find out they're 5 years younger than you, which just happened to me.
Child. The Lone Star Fugitive Task Force says he's a sexual predator who targets single mothers.
He's an opportunist. He appears to seek out women who have children, young children.
Investigators say he slowly builds trust with the victim.
He would buy her toys and buy her items of value.
The arrest warrant says Tomas Gutierrez gave her a cell phone to use and told her to go into the bedroom.
When the victim's mother was away from the home working is when Tomas Gutierrez began his criminal conduct.
The abuse lasted for several years. So far, finding Gutierrez has been difficult. The marshals say he does various trade jobs in Austin, and his name, Gutierrez, is tattooed on his left arm. But so far, he's been like a ghost to law enforcement.
Look for a man with Gutierrez on his left arm.
He has lived in this country illegally. Well, we don't know when he came in. He doesn't have so much as a traffic ticket.
Gutierrez has family in the Austin area, and the fear is he's searching for his next target.
Any child that Gutierrez comes into contact is a potential victim. We've got to put a stop to people like Tomas Gutierrez.
Ooh. It's amazing. Like, do you know I used to work with sexual offenders?
No.
Would you like to hear a quick story?
Sure.
The amount of scheming that they do in long-term planning to set up these kinds of situations, it's terrifying.
Really?
And it makes you, just like, having that experience made me distrustful of the entire world for years. I honestly think that my experience at that school, not just in that job, but in other jobs working with those types of kids at such a an important age, like I worked there from ages 21 to 28, I think that might be why I don't have kids. Why I never wanted to have kids.
Wait, you worked with kids or you worked with predators of kids?
No, kids who were predators. Teens who were predators.
Oh, so both.
So what had happened is they had all been sexually abused. So obviously this guy has probably been sexually abused. And he's replicating that abuse on other people. Usually, the most common reason why it's done, but not the only reason, is to normalize the abuse that they suffered. Right? Oh, this is okay that this happened to me. Here, watch me do it to somebody else. So even like a lot of the kids, if they were molested by like a 13-year-old when they were six, when they were 13, they'd find a 6-year-old and do the same thing. That was like, it was almost like clockwork. It was very strange.
Right, but it didn't matter if it was someone they knew, because this guy, this news story, this news story alleges that he's doing it on purpose. He's purposely befriending a family and then doing it.
Oh, that's very, very common, that they would set up a situation. They would find a target, and then they would kind of say, these are my goals for that target, and then they would kind of reverse engineer the path back to where they are. And find a way to do this. Right. And this is why, like, you know, when people have sexual offenses, they have to go around in a neighborhood and tell everybody what they did. Because, not that, you know, I think that's the only way to solve the problem, or not that I even think there is a way to solve the problem, but the schemes, you know, and the layers of planning are very, very elaborate. And when you see these things happening, like, I watch kids being groomed by other kids. You know, younger kids, smaller kids, by the bigger kids. It was...
Did you have to do anything? Did you have to be like, stop grooming that kid?
No, but you could see these things, and you'd have to get like clinical people involved. But this was the place where these kids had been... The treatment they were getting didn't help them either, because they thought they were so dangerous. Like, if staff turned their back, like if they were all... Like, say there was a TV room, right? And I was a staff, and the phone was on the wall right there. If I walked around the corner to pick up the phone and just went out of their, were out of my eyesight for a second, they'd start going, unsafe, 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 unsafe. Like they chant in unison until I...
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. It was demented. It was a really, but this, I mean, this is not surprising to me at all that somebody would do this. This is like, you know, child predation 101, I think.
Sure. What's surprising is that they have the guy, but they don't know where he is. Like they know who he is. They've got pictures of him, but they're like, where is he?
I mean, and this is in Austin?
I don't know.
He looks like a guy who sets off fireworks in the evening every night.
Toward the fireworks?
Yeah, go towards the fireworks.
Right. Well, anyway, Brett, I'm very lucky to have you as a friend.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Likewise.
And thanks for staying over and doing a show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been wonderful.
I hope you have a great trip.
I appreciate that. I hope I do, too. And, I guess that's...
This has been News with Nick. Do you have anything else?
No.
I'm gonna throw away the rest of the stories.
Oh, wow. Look at all these stories we didn't get to.
That's fine.
People know how to find me if they're interested, and I hope my premium club enjoyed the show.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye. It was February 14th, Valentine's Day.
After show. Just kidding. Well, no. Nicole says, safe travels, Brett. So we didn't ever talk about Ridley, but...
That's okay.
No, it is okay. This guy, listeners, his name is Dave Ridley at RidleyReport.com. He's been an activist since the beginning, and he's still the same activist. And I'm like, what is with this man? He's never changed. He's never done anything different. He just keeps doing the same thing. Is he a robot?
Do you want to hear my one Dave Ridley story?
Does he have a human being inside of him? Like, does he have feelings? I've never heard of him having any sort of relations with any sort of person. Right?
I've seen attempts.
Really?
Okay. So my one Dave Ridley story, it was probably 2011 or 2012, and I was dating this girl, this free stater, who had moved from New Jersey to open a little cafe. And we were at some event, and Ridley was there at a table. And he goes, her and I are right together. We're clearly a couple. And he walks up.
Was she hot?
She was. Most people in the, like, most guys like Dave Ridley would think she was very, very
Well, very,
attractive.
Very. Okay.
Yeah. And she was certainly, you know, she was certainly a beautiful girl. She had beautiful hair. She was nice and petite, you know, those kinds of things. So, and she had dark skin because she was Italian.
Okay.
You know, how people, but not too dark. For New Hampshire whites, I mean, you know, seeing a very dark person in New Hampshire is quite startling. Or Vermont. So Dave Ridley walks up and he kind of like, we're together, and he kind of almost like stands in between us to like talk to her about this close.
But he doesn't have his camera on him, or does he?
I don't know.
But he's not using it, obviously.
And he's like, so I'm really interested in what you're here to do, and I'd love to interview you sometime. And I say, oh, hey, I'm Brett. And he kind of looks at me and then walks away. Or he made a face like like that. So he, as soon as he called into Free Talk Live last night, I was like, oh, this guy doesn't like me. And he was also critical when they did the school sucks activism. Remember when like Sam and all those people held the signs outside that said school sucks?
Yeah, that's how Ian got his girlfriends.
Yeah, yeah, which I told them not to do. Or I asked them not to do. I can't say I told them not to do. He was one of the critics of that. He's like, school sucks. This is bad. So I don't know. But yeah, he's clearly a weird man. He makes these little ads for the sponsors for his show where he kind of jerks around in weird ways and talks in a funny voice. Right. Here's one.
Sponsored by freaking.com.
Yeah, so he's clearly unhinged.
I thought that was an okay ad style for about 2 months.
Yeah.
But now it's been 8 years. If you don't fold the couch up, that's fine.
I would like to make it as much like I wasn't here as possible.
You do so whatever you
just
you,
return
you
to your
do whatever
life.
Feel makes you feel good. My perspective is enough people have done super nice things for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, I go to Andrew's house and I eat chips, and now there's chips all over the floor.
Oh sure, yeah.
And I drink beer and I leave the beer bottles there.
Mm-hmm.
That if I can repay the universe by cleaning up after someone else or preparing their bed space for them, that makes me not feel so shitty.
Anyway, well,
so I'm fine.
This is my, you know what? I want to get my trip off on the right foot. And so I got up this morning and I did some crunches.
Wow.
And I got my water. So I drank water before coffee because health is important. But also, I don't want to just go from place to place being like, oh, this is where, you know, I get to stay for the night and not be like really appreciative and respectful. So I obviously want to do as much as I can. And if there's anything I can do for you in the future, you know, to keep paying the universe, I will do it.
Thanks.
Absolutely.